Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Lee, I gotta wonder after this weekend's news, do we have a gang problem here in Greenville?
I think we got a gang problem in the upstate.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to put it, actually. And that's kind of what I was thinking when I said Greenville. But yeah, Greenville area. And here's why. All right, well, I'll just start with what happened this weekend, because it was shocking. I mean, this is like something I would expect to read out of Chicago, okay? Or New York or something. An 11-year-old girl was fatally shot, and a teen and another surviving child, who were also shot, it's two 11-year-olds and a teenager, were critically injured Sunday in a pre-dawn shooting in Anderson. Shooting happened around 1:30 a.m. This was the 1200 block of West End Avenue. The three girls who were shot were just in the home. A woman who is the mother of one, at least one of them, I'm reading from the Greenville News, and a 20-year-old man who is believed to be related to them, according to the incident report, were, you know, they were at home, blah, blah, blah. An unknown assailant starts firing shots into the home. Okay. So we have children being gunned down. This is the kind of stuff that I usually use as an example of how bad Chicago is. But the coverage, yeah, I don't want to say the coverage because that comes, that's wrong. This comes from the police. So they write what, you know, media reports what they're told. I mean, they have to. We can't go investigate these things ourselves. I mean, they wouldn't let you into the crime scene. But I can't help but wonder. I mean, because when we had Sheriff Will Lewis, okay, and don't send me a bunch of texts about how he cheated on his wife and he's a jerk. We know that. We're well aware. But the thing that Sheriff Lewis did that really opened my mind and why I was such a big fan of his, that the way he handled these shootings was he went and delved into, okay, but why did the guy shoot into the house? Is there drug dealing in the house? Or is there a gang affiliation with the house? Or is that sort of thing? And he began to characterize each of these shootings. They're like, wow, that sounds violent. Wonder why that happened. They were gang related. And it was really terrifying. I mean, I'll never forget in all my life. I mean, you were watching a young woman get gunned down, a person who had been accepted to college, gunned down at a party in front of hundreds of witnesses. And not one of them would help the police
and
because they were so afraid.
Have it solved.
No, still unsolved. And I mean, you want to talk about being able to commit. This is the power gangs have in our community. Being able to commit a murder that at least dozens of people saw and they won't talk to the police.
Yep.
That's how bad our gang problem is. That is how out of control these gangs are. And with Sheriff Will Lewis now not holding office, we don't have that angle on these shootings anymore. He used to tell us every single time, and I mean, my jaw would hang open. Oh my gosh, we got a terrible gang problem here. Well, that is never discussed now. And quite frankly, I think that's the way that the, you know, city and the business leadership and other folks in this area, you know, in these counties want it. They don't want our gang problem advertised. I think it's one of the reasons that Sheriff Will Lewis ran afoul of some in the political community for telling the truth on it. But this is what this sounds like to me.
Yeah, this. I'll be honest with you, Tara. I think this is a twofold problem. I think much of this is gang related, and much of the gang related stuff, and some that is not gang related, is drugs. Methamphetamine.
Yeah.
It is, you know, marijuana, other whatever. Not so much the marijuana, but the methamphetamine is the real problem. Methamphetamine and the heroin and the cocaine and the crack. That is a large part of what the problem is, and. It is so sad. This society, this culture is killing itself with that. It's not a gun problem. It is a drug and gang problem. Because if those two things could be controlled or put back into the Pandora's box that they've been released from, you wouldn't see these shootings.
You wouldn't. And listen, and inevitably somebody will text me, every community has these problems. And they do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are not different in any way.
But some to greater degree than others.
Yes. But as you know, as I learned when I was in Charlotte, Charlotte took the tack of, we're not going to admit that we have a gang problem by, you know, joining up with the feds, admitting we have a gang problem and eradicating it by going after the leadership. And that was their point for a long time because they thought the city and the county leadership thought it would hurt business recruitment if anybody had any idea And I mean, we got to the point in Charlotte where we were having rolling shootouts down the highway between gang members in broad daylight. We got to the point where the gang members would buy both houses at the front of neighborhoods to set up machine gun nests so they could machine gun rival drug dealers driving into the neighborhood. They were allowed to do that in an organized fashion. And I began writing about, no, this is not just random. It's not a random shoot. This is gang related. You could chase it all back to these three guys. We got to get these guys. And finally embarrass the leadership of the city into doing something in an organized way. And Charlotte really did. They brought in the feds. They were able to crack down on the gangs. And what Charlotte did that was a mistake is denying it for a long time and not investigating in an organized fashion because they were so terrified that word would get out about how bad our gang problem was. And the gangsters took advantage of this. And they were moving. They were moving from L.A. They were moving from New York and Chicago to Charlotte because they could operate there with immunity without fearing RICO. And that's what, you know, in going after these big conspiracies, that's what the leadership wants. And I'm afraid I'm watching that happen in Greenville right now. It's just all the signs are there. And unfortunately, without Sheriff, Lewis to tell us, hey, this is why the shooting went down. This is two gangs fighting it out. You don't know. And I'm just afraid that this is being treated by our justice system as a random shooting. I'm telling you, this head's nowhere good.
There are random shootings that we report on, but that aren't random. Not all of them are.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the time Charlotte was done, they had the second highest violent crime rating for a mid-sized city in the nation. Mm-hmm. It was a staggering amount of violence. And, you know, after, you know, at first, as you know, we were reporting this and we ripped the Band-Aid off and said, listen, this is a gang problem. This is not random violence. There was backlash of politicians denying it. No, it wasn't true. The chamber said it wasn't true, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, they're like, you know, crud, we got to fix this. And they did. You're never going to get rid of all the gang activity. It's never going to happen. But if you have big time gangbangers coming in from other cities, and I guarantee we do watching this kind of stuff, and you don't go after them, you're going to see Greenville's crime rate tick up and up and up and up in the coming decade. There's just too many people here now to sell drugs to.
Well, and all of the good work that many of these politicians, many of these business leaders, many of these civic leaders have done to put together a beautiful downtown area is going to decline.
We've already had the ruling shootout downtown. We had it. Was what, last year?
Yeah, it was a year or so ago.
Yeah, we've already had that. And I'm telling you, the problem with this is you go look at the guys who did the rolling shootout and they have relatively short rap sheets. So guess what? They don't get a lot of time. When you have this, you need to say what gang they were. This is gang activity, obviously. What gang were they in? And then you need to take it to the federal prosecutor and throw the book at them. You have to, because they will use guys with short rap sheets so that they don't get a lot of time and can't be turned against the gang leadership to do the execution style shootings. Lee, two 11-year-olds shot. One dead?
Mm-hmm. In Anderson.
In Anderson.
It's in the city.
Yeah. And by the way, that's what these gangs would do. They don't park. They don't always park it like downtown. You know what I mean? Where you would think in the movies you see, oh, they're in the projects, right? They go into the country. This is exactly what they did in Charlotte. They'd buy these old rundown mill homes. Like, you know what I mean? Out in the middle of nowhere. Because guess what? They're running drugs. They don't want a lot of scrutiny from their neighbors.
And let me add a couple of things to this, Tara. There's another shooting in Greenwood we're talking about. Three out of four people dead in an apartment shooting in Greenwood.
Yep, same thing.
At an apartment complex.
Yeah, Abbeville.
And in Anderson today, another two people have been shot. This was either late last night or early this morning. In addition to the one that was Sunday morning.
I just feel like with Sheriff Lewis, and he did it to himself, I'm not saying this, but we need some law enforcement officer, maybe the next sheriff, to step up and start calling this, and we need to get the feds involved. And look, right. I get that Ken Miller, the head of the Greenville PD, he can't do that. He works for, you know, the city of Greenville.
I think
he's their employee. He can't go on a crusade.
No,
only a sheriff can.
Yeah.
Only an elected official can.
And I'm not blaming any of the sheriffs, but I'm saying that's where the leadership has got to come from.
Yes.
Because you're absolutely right.
We don't have
elected officials. I would have no problem seeing some type of task force or further cooperation between the sheriff's offices in the upstate to try to track this stuff down. To me, going to the federal government, I get where you're going with that, and I'm not being critical. I'm just simply saying I always cringe every time I hear talking about asking the feds to do something. To me, that should always be the
last. No, it's federal prosecutors.
I get that. But
you can't go. You can't get them any other way than RICO, because I'm telling you why. Or using the RICO statutes or drug dealing conspiracy statutes, because otherwise, listen, these big gang bangers that come in here from these big cities in Miami and L.A., they don't do anything.
No.
You will never get them. A lot of them don't have rap sheets or they don't have long rap sheets because they get the guys under them to do it. And if you are perpetually prosecuting the guys under them, these shootings are going to ramp up. Right. I'm telling you, I've seen this before. I watched it happen in Charlotte. I know the road we're going down. We have to be attracting gangs right now because they go into areas, Lee, where they know law enforcement and the judicial system is not prepared for them, and where they know there is no strong federal program to go after the leadership. The leadership's trying to stay out of prison. They're willing to let the lower level guys go to prison.
Oh, of course.
And think about it. In North Carolina, my gosh, how many people do you have to shoot before you do a significant prison term? I mean, I'm just asking, seriously, given what we've seen. You know, I mean, you have to really seriously do a lot here because we're so lax about it. I know I'm asking you to believe me, but I'm telling you what Will Lewis revealed in just the months that we had with him as sheriff was shocking about these shootings and the level of gang activity. It can only have gotten worse. And Lee, we're seeing it. We're seeing it right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there should be absolute outrage in the upstate this morning. When two 11-year-olds are shot.
In a house. It's not like they were.
I know.
Yeah.
Not like they were out wandering around
or
something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They were where they were supposed to be. This was a drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
Y'all, I'm telling you, it will get worse. It's going to be like Chicago. They need to wake the heck up.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
In the middle of everything else, Democrats moving toward giving illegal immigrants the ability to vote. I'm not talking about just talking about it. I mean, they're actually doing it. There's a formula they're using in the different laws that they're passing that allows illegal immigrants to vote. And it's a really easy thing. The basic outline of it goes like this. You get them a driver's license. You make sure there's automatic voter registration with a driver's license. Then you decriminalize illegal immigrant voting. New York just did this in a series of votes. You decriminalize illegal immigrant voting. So what you do is you say, okay, well, yeah, we got to get them a driver's license. I mean, man, they're going to have to drive. It'd be safer for everybody, blah, 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 blah. And the real point is to get them registered to vote. Now, New York Democrat officials even admit that illegal immigrants probably will vote because voting in New York is an honor system. You don't have to bring any kind of ID. You don't have to prove you're a citizen. In fact, nobody even explores that, whether you're legally able to vote, unless you're, you know, accused of a crime, criminal voting. But they got to fix it. These illegal immigrants, they don't want to get caught voting and, you know, go to prison. So what happens? Well, they just decriminalized illegal immigrant voting, not directly. They just took away the penalty. It's still illegal on the books. But if anybody does it, you know, it was an accident. They didn't mean to. They didn't understand. They couldn't vote in federal elections. Oh, so sorry. Why are they doing this? Because there's a big fight right now over a Republican congressional district in New York that's been taken over by Democrats. It's pretty purple. A Republican could win it back, and they need the illegals to vote. They're going to duplicate this across the country, folks. I'll explain coming up at 7:37. Let's jump on the line with Daniel in Greenville. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Tara. Here is the thing. I lived in Los Angeles during the 80s and 90s and the early part of the 2000s. The gang violence that we have here in the upstate is just barely the tip of the iceberg. Like you were saying, if we don't do something now, this is going to be just like then.
Yep.
But we do have drive-bys, and we're having children, little children, being killed on the streets, where kids have to stay inside their homes and play and sleep on the floor because it's too dangerous to stand up and pass by a window. Not to mention the fact is, the day I left my hometown to come here 10 years ago, there was four bodies beheaded due to drug-related gangs. And I'm not talking about, you know, they were shot in the head and that was it. No, they literally had their heads removed from their bodies.
This is what, in L.A.?
This is in Los Angeles County, yes.
Okay. And the cartels have moved into L.A. They run the jails there, not the sheriff. I mean,
well,
so, yeah, that's what comes in.
Step.
What?
Here's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is you have gangs such as El M, which is the Mexican Mafia. You have MS-13. You have the Crips, the Bloods. They have gotten smart over the last 30 years. They now just don't have underlings that are going around shooting people, dealing drugs. They actually have them going through school, going to colleges, and getting good jobs. And then all of a sudden, now you got them in places of sitting on city council boards, sitting on fundraising communities. And what they're doing is funneling their money through these systems, as well as giving them avenues to get more power into situations. This is already happening in Los Angeles. It's happening in San Diego. It's happening in San Francisco, Sacramento. It's happening in Phoenix, New Mexico, Santa Fe. It is happening all over the southern, western part of the United States.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you're right. I was going to say, Daniel, I think you're right. I think now the risk is even worse than what I saw in Charlotte of the big gangbangers coming from L.A. and places like that and setting up these big conspiracies, these big drug delivery, you know, operations. You're right. If they're allowed in, the cartels will follow.
Well, it's not just about drugs.
Yeah.
You have the problems with the Democrats wanting to allow illegals to come in, which you're just allowing more of them to come in to gain more power. Now you got a problem with drugs, gun running, human trafficking. There is a whole sprue of stuff other than just drugs that they deal with.
Yep.
And what nobody realizes is
prostitution,
all that. If the Democrats get what they want in 20 years, I guarantee you there will not be not one of these Democrats that are trying to fight for these illegals to be sitting in our House, in the Senate, or in Congress. They will be all of people of connections with the cartels of one form or another, and not just of the southern countries, but also of that of Japan,
yep,
of Russia, of Europe. They think that it's just the Latin communities that have this problem. No. You're looking at the Russian mob, who is just almost as deadly as MS-13.
You know, and Daniel, to people who don't know this issue, that sounds a little nuts what you're saying, but you're dead on right. You know why? Because remember in Charlotte, I told you, this looks, what's going on in Greenville this weekend looks just like what I saw in Charlotte when the big L.A. gangbangers and Miami gangbangers moved into Charlotte. And the leadership runs this stuff, and you start to see kids going down. But you're absolutely right. You know, and I argued for a long time, the city needed to acknowledge it. They had to work with federal prosecutors, because federal prosecutors are the only ones who have access to the federal statutes it takes to put these people away for conspiracy. You got to get the gang leadership. Well, Daniel, when they started prosecuting, they went up a level in Charlotte, and you're thinking Bloods, Crips, right? You know who was running the drugs in Charlotte? Asian gangs. Charlotte, yep, had become an international hub for Asian gangs. So you went up like two levels. The leadership, you know, you think Crips, Bloods, quite frankly, African-American. Mm-mm. It was Asian. And these were international Asian gangs that were running drugs through black and white neighborhoods using black and white drug dealers as needed. And in other words, they were above the Bloods and Crips, you know, operating the supply line. I'm telling you, that will come in here if we don't get it. It's already here. You can tell. They go to areas that are not sophisticated and do not have organized federal gang prosecution programs to target the guys at top. They come in and they terrorize community. I'm telling you, by the time Charlotte was done ignoring its gang problem, they had the number two highest violent crime rate in the country. This will happen here if we do not take the Sheriff Lewis route and look at these crimes, not as isolated incidents, a tragic gun crime, an 11-year-old shot, but as what they are, organized gang activity, possibly at the multinational level. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, what's wrong with the radio.com app this morning? I know it's in and out a lot. I am sorry about that. I am working on getting it up and working. Texter writes, that's right, and it's been going on for years, and the feds and local police watch it go on. Our law enforcement in America is totally off the rails. Well, no, I'm not going to blame it on them, not at the street level. No, I mean, all they can do is clean up the mess after the shooting. It takes leadership from the top, which we do not have in Greenville right now. We don't. It takes leadership from the top to say this is a gang problem, and in an organized fashion, we need to go after the leadership of the gangs. You cannot continue arresting the people who do the drive-by shootings. They're just sent by the gang leaders. It's the gang leaders you have to get. And I'm telling you, I can tell by the kind of crime we are seeing now in Greenville, especially after this weekend. I mean, two 11-year-olds shot, one killed in a drive-by shooting, three people killed in another shooting. This is textbook gang activity. And listen, no community is without gang activity. But this has the look of organized gang activity. And what these gangsters do in the bigger cities, they've all got RICO-style prosecution programs. You can only do that at the federal level. Our local prosecutors cannot do it. They don't have the federal laws to work with. State laws don't cover this stuff. You need to go after these folks at a conspiracy level, because I'm telling you, the gang leaders that order these hits don't do them. Their records are often clean. And so when you look at the kind of shootings we are now seeing, this is a regular thing. And I said you could tell this when we had our first rolling shootout through downtown. You don't just go after the guys who did it. By the way, they bonded them out. That was hysterical. Like it was no big deal. You have to go after the leadership. And that takes, working with a federal task force, working with federal prosecutors to identify what gang crimes are. You need to start a gang database to keep track of who the leaders are. And they'll move into a place like Greenville, often into the countryside, not into the inner city, as people think. That's a stereotype. They move into the countryside, somewhere quiet. And these are, again, major city gangbangers. I guarantee you, if you looked at their backgrounds, when you find them, they'll be Chicago, L.A., Miami, New York. They're here. You can tell it by the crime. And they take advantage of municipalities like this that don't have the big programs that they do in these other cities that have years of gang experience, because they don't want to take the risk of ending up, in federal prison for 20 to 30 years. And by the way, when you see these guys go to federal prison, these big gang leaders who've literally killed dozens and dozens of people, you'll see them go on a drug charge. Usually it's a conspiracy to deliver drugs. Might be crack cocaine or meth or whatever. And then the liberal Democrats get you all riled up. Oh, my gosh, they sent him away for 30 years for a crack dealing conspiracy. They were the main gang leader for a major city. They were responsible for dozens of deaths. The only way you can get these people is conspiracy. You have to turn the lower level guys against them to make the shooting stop. There's no other way. And so when Obama lets them out of prison, well, see, look, it's just that's not 30 years for conspiracy to deliver meth. Yeah, he had two dozen people executed. Over 4 years. They couldn't get him on that. They never will get the leadership for that. They never will. That's how you stop a gang problem. And I'm telling you, folks, we got one. And unfortunately, Sheriff Will Lewis was the only person doing anything about it. And he's gone by his own hand, unfortunately. Major screw up, but he's gone. We don't have that now. So they're back to pretending we don't have a gang problem, which is exactly what attracts these gang leaders to your area. They hope and pray you will deal with these shootings, like the killing of one 11-year-old and the shooting of another in one single drive-by shooting, as just a random isolated crime. You do that, man, they will move in here in droves. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it. Mark in Simpsonville. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Tara. I saw this in Houston in 1998, two doors down from me. I was going to move. I was in a little town in Washington State, going to move to the big city, have better jobs, thinking, okay, I'll go scope it out. Great. I moved to Houston ahead of my family. A couple months later, there was a drive-by shooting in a residential area. Not a great part of town, but not an ugly part of town. And two, like an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old brother. It was a birthday party.
Oh, no.
In the front yard. They shot them both dead. I was in a house two doors down. I heard the car accelerate away. The cops were there literally in seconds. And when they were mopping it up, they said, well, we found the AK-47 down at the end of the street. Numbers are ground off it. They said, this is a gang initiation. And that you are exactly right. This will happen here. And guess what we're going to do as good citizens? What's the easiest thing to do? Move. And this town will be a ghost town. We got to get on this. We've got to get Trey Gowdy on board with this. You're exactly right. You're echoing exactly what I thought when I was in Houston's a big city. So, yeah, they had a lot of – and the other thing is they had gang shootings every day on the morning news. And so when I didn't have one, I thought, wow, that's weird. You get dead to it. You get used to the shootings every day in the news.
Yep.
And it's not gangbangers shooting each other. They're shooting people.
Yeah. And by the way, if anybody gets caught in the crossfire, oh, well.
Yeah, well, that happened to me in Portland as well. And it happened, yeah, I've been a couple of cities where there's been gang activity. And guess what? I moved, because the city was like, well, you know, it's a yeah, they deny it.
Yeah.
This
yep.
is the problem. We need to get into it. Thanks yep. for taking this up.
Well, thank you, Mark. And you can tell by the pattern. Again, I watched Charlotte do this, and the leadership denied. I mean, in response to stuff we were writing, where we were connecting the gang leadership to the shootings. The city council, county commission, no, we don't have a gang problem, not us. And then by the time they ended up, Charlotte ended up with the second highest violent crime rate for a mid-sized city in the nation. I mean, at one point, Charlotte's violent crime rate was higher than New York City's per capita. That's how, and it was close to LA's. That's how insane it got in Charlotte because they ignored this. And I'm telling you, it's starting here. And you can see it in the headlines from the weekend. The drive-by style shootings. This is not, you know, a guy and his girlfriend got into a fight. The kind of stuff you see in most places. This isn't even a random drug shooting over some marijuana. This, you know, or some meth or whatever between two independent dealers. This is organized gang activity. And I'm hearing, you know, crickets from the leadership. They need to start asking questions. What are we going to do to keep the high-level gang leadership out of our city? They're already here. And word is spreading. You could do whatever you want here. You could tell. All right, I got to do this quick, Terrell, because I've got like 2.5 minutes left. What's up?
All right, two quick questions for you, Tara.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, do you think that there's any relation between the gangs in America and the rebel groups that are funded across seas by our government and politicians or whatever? You also said that there's gangs in every community. Or do you think there are actually gangs in your community that you live in?
Well, for the second question, Terrell, I would direct you to the podcast because that's what the last hour has been about. I do. Now, talking about the Syrian groups that we fund overseas wouldn't surprise me. I don't know because we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. At all. And I think the question that you left with the call screener was, can we trust the feds to come in and deal with the gangs?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a bad question, Terrell, actually. I mean, especially given, you know, the corruption that we've seen from the FBI at the local level in several major cities in conjunction with gangs. I mean, it's really well documented in several cities. It's a good question. That's a legitimate, I mean, it's now a legitimate question. I think the way that you handle it, in answer to your question, and I've seen it work in Charlotte, is that the local police work with federal prosecutors. And what you do is you bring to them the gang members, and the police know what's going on. They know it's related. They know it all. I mean, but Sheriff Will Lewis was able to have a microphone and come out and tell us what shooting was not just the tragic shooting, but it was gang related. And he knew which gangs even. And he even had an idea of who was doing it, but he couldn't prove it because he couldn't get anybody to help him because all the witnesses to the gang shooting were terrified of the gangs killing them if they said anything. I mean, you know, including a shooting of a girl where there were dozens, at least dozens of witnesses and hundreds of people there. We still haven't solved that. So in answer to your question, I think there is a way we could do it. I don't think you necessarily have to bring the FBI in, but what the local police and sheriff's departments need is a gang database so they know who they're tracking, so that you can say, hey, if John Smith over here does this shooting, well, we know he works for this gang. We know who the leadership is, and you can begin to connect them and turn them against each other. It's going to take federal prosecutors with federal statutes to go after this from a conspiracy perspective. We don't have the statutes here or the amount of time attached to the statutes to really get the upper level guys. And that's how you stop this stuff. What do you think, Terrell? Am I wrong?
I think a lot of what you said is correct. I always have had a problem with, like I said, when you say the gang leaders, take out the gang leaders. I actually think the gang leaders are actually politicians and those high up in law enforcement. And I actually think they sit and watch it go on for years and so-called investigating it. But they're actually watching it go on and allowing it to happen so that it can ruin your community.
And Terrell, I mean, I got to tell you, you're not entirely wrong with that. I saw it in Charlotte where you literally had city council members so corrupt, they were pressuring our DA to let gang members off the hook in, like, you know, murders. And the DA was coming back with like 5 and 8 year murder sentences. So I have seen this before. You're not entirely wrong. It's not as simple as it was. Thanks for your phone call.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.